for everyone that's here this morning. Appreciate it. Appreciate the Lord making it possible for us to be worshiping out together. And appreciate how the Lord has been blessing and helping us, and how we have, in the congregation, we've been growing. Been growing in our spirits, in our souls. I want you to sing number 155, just the chorus. Just the chorus of 155. Shepherd, I shall not want. Now we know a shepherd is one that leads and guides and, you know, protects the flock. It says you're not going to want for anything. You're going to have everything you need. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He says he maketh me. In other words, he does it. He does something for us. Lie down in green pastures. In other words, lie down. No work. No work. Be able to settle down in green pastures. You know, times of plenty. He makes us lay down in times of plenty.
Yeah.
He leads beside still waters, which are, you know, it's refreshing, and it's cool, and it's peaceful. And you can just, you don't hear all of the noise of a rushing stream or anything. It's just peaceful, just still waters. And it's just a reflection. And I want us to get a picture of what the Lord does, where he leads us. It says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Paths of righteousness. He leads us in paths that are right and just and what they should be. This is what he does. He leads us.
Yeah.
Then it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yeah. It says, though I walk, see, we walk through some pretty bleak places. It says the shadow of death. You know, the shadow of death. Do you know that the death that we talk about here on this earth is just a shadow? It's just a shadow. The real death is what happens after we leave here.
Yeah. That's true.
In other words, that it says that's the second death. In other words, if we end up on the wrong side of eternity, in the wrong place in eternity, but right here, this is just a shadow. It's just kind of a doorway. It is the doorway that we use to get to paradise. It's just a doorway. Yeah. And it's nothing to be feared. People have a lot of fear about death and yeah. What's going to happen. And if this comes on my body or that comes on my body, and ooh, it could be this, it could be that. It doesn't matter, because death is just a doorway. It's just a shadow. It's not real death. It's leading you to eternal life. It's not death, it's eternal life you're stepping into. You're leaving the death behind. You're leaving this old world and all that's here, and the flesh and sin and all that. You're leaving all that behind, and you're stepping into this new world. It's not death, it's life. It says, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In other words, rod of correction, a staff is for support. That's what God does for us. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid in this life, no matter what is coming our way or what we're having to go through, as long as we're letting the Lord lead. If we want to lead, we're going to get in trouble. But if we let Him lead, it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There are times that there are so many troubles and trials or tests or whatever, and we don't feel like eating.
Right?
Your appetite is taken away.
Yeah.
But here it says that He spreads a table in the midst of my enemies. In other words, I can eat when I'm surrounded with enemies and troubles and problems and cares. I can still eat. My spirit can still eat.
Yeah.
My spirit can still be refreshed. My spirit can still take on all the things that I need for the well-being of my soul. Yeah. Right in the midst
Praise
of all
God.
The enemies.
Yes.
He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Oh, our hearts. Our hearts run over sometimes, don't they? They runneth over with love and thanksgiving and just a happiness and joy. We get that. We get that from the Lord. It comes from Him. We don't have to be afraid no matter where He leads us. Wherever He leads, we can safely go. So, I'll not be afraid is what the message is about this morning, is that I'll not be afraid. No matter what comes, I'll not be afraid. This verse, this chorus started ringing through my heart one day, and I was singing it, and I wasn't paying any attention to what I was singing. You know how we do that sometimes.
Yeah.
We're just singing along, but we're not really paying any attention. And then all of a sudden, the Lord said, it was kind of like He brought to my mind, what are you saying? What are you saying? Do you really believe? And He asked me, do you believe that? That you don't have to be afraid? You can safely go wherever He leads, you can just safely go. And then He started talking to me about all the different people in the Bible and what the Lord did and how it all happened. So in Genesis 37, the 18th and the 19th verse. And this is Joseph and his brothers. And I just picked these two verses to talk about this story. It says, when they saw him afar off, his brothers saw Joseph, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They were thinking, we're going to kill him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. All right. Now we know that God gave Joseph dreams. Now you would think that if these dreams... He told his dreams to his brothers at one point, and they got all upset about it and everything. They really told him some things. And then he had more dreams. Why did he tell the second dreams? Why did he do that? Because God leads us down paths that aren't always what we would visualize as safe. See? It would be safer to not tell that dream. They really got upset about the first dream. Yeah. I better not tell the second one. But he was felt led to tell the second dream. And even his father rebuked him.
Yeah.
And yet, what was going to happen? He was going to save his father and all the household eventually.
Yeah.
It was a long path he took.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't look like the Lord's leading when you're sold into slavery.
Right.
It doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like the Lord's leading when all of your brothers are hating you, selling you into slavery. It doesn't look like the Lord is leading and blessing or helping you when in Potiphar's house, the wife turned against him, and tried to get him to come and lay with her. And he said, no, I'll not do that to the master of the household. And she told a lie on him. He ends up in prison.
Right.
Doesn't look like God's leading, does it?
Right.
Oh, listen. The Lord is going to lead us down paths. His ways are past finding out. We cannot know what the end result is of the paths that he's going to take us through.
Amen.
And it isn't always something that he makes manifest to us. It isn't just something that he says, all right, I'm going to take you down this place. It's going to get hard. It's going to get bumpy. It's going to get rocky. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. No, we just end up walking through it, and we're wondering, and we're thinking, and what's going on? Don't you know Joseph was thinking, what is this? Then he gets in prison, and because of his good attitude and because God was with him, he gets appointed a high place in jail. But then he interprets more dreams. Now you'd think this man would stay away from dreams, wouldn't he? Because dreams got him into a lot of trouble. But no, he says, no, I'll interpret those dreams. And then he told them. And then he was forgotten again.
Yeah.
He was forgotten again. And then the Pharaoh of Egypt has a dream. And the man remembers, oh, I remember a man that told me my dream. Mm-hmm. Now, you wouldn't have thought way back there when he had that first dream, you wouldn't have thought that it was going to lead to all of this and God was going to keep using dreams that he would have to talk about and have to interpret and have to tell people what they were. You wouldn't have thought that's where the Lord was leading. But the Lord knew all along what he was going to do. He understood it. It was a long distance plan. You know, he has that same long distance plan in our life. And we don't see, we just see the short side of it.
Right.
We don't see the long distance plan. But he's leading us right along. We can safely go. As long as we're not the ones leading. As long as we're not making and doing things that are out of order.
Right.
We can trust him. We don't have to be afraid. We can safely go where he leads us. It doesn't look like anything good to the world. It looks like you're doing the wrong thing. You're doing the absolutely wrong thing. But that isn't what God had in mind. So we can go on, and this was one when the Lord started talking to me about this one. I thought, Lord, Mary and Joseph. Okay? So in Luke 2, 1 through 5. It says, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, under Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, how can the Lord be leading in any kind of a good way in taxes? Taxes that are against us and holding us down and taking our money and everything. But God had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
See, God had a plan. And there are a lot of things that come to us in our life. There are a lot of things that our government, laws we have to live under, and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the end result of those things that we do in our life.
Okay.
Just like with me, I'm preparing my taxes the other day, and I get an opportunity to speak to the man about God saving life.
Amen.
We don't know what will happen. We don't know who we will come in contact with. But anyway, you wouldn't think anything good would come out of taxes. And what in the world was Mary doing traveling this late? You see? Wisdom says you don't start a long journey when you're about to have a child. Nobody does that. Nobody says, oh, let's get in the car and drive cross country because my wife is about to have a baby in 2 or 3 days, so let's just go for a week-long drive across country. Nobody does that. But God led. Why? Because there was a plan in place. Because there was a prophecy that was made hundreds of years before that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And God had to get Jesus born in Bethlehem. So whatever it took, taxes, traveling when she was about to have a child, and who knows, you know, it was his espoused wife. They hadn't come together yet as husband and wife. And she was found with child before they came together. And even though he decided to keep her, what do you think some of the other family thought? Maybe there was a reason why she was traveling with Joseph, because nobody wanted to stay for her to stay with them.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The persecution and all that they went through, and all of the bad talking, and that she wasn't a good girl, and all these things that were probably said, because that's what people do, isn't it? Isn't that how people act? Isn't that what they say? Isn't that what they do?
Uh-huh.
So she couldn't stay with any relatives. I'm supposing that she couldn't stay with relatives because of things being said and hardships and different things that were going on. But anyway, Joseph taking her on this long travel, and they traveled quite a ways. It took them a little bit to get there. And him knowing that she's about to have a child, and he's there by himself. I mean, usually it's the women that come in and help and he's there by himself, and it's the first child. I mean, but they were following the leadings of the Lord. They didn't understand it all. They didn't get it and understand it all. But God knew it all. We can safely trust that God will lead us, but he's not going to always lead us in the wisdom of the world's ways. It isn't going to look like that. It isn't going to look like what the world would say is safety. But we can be safe in the leadings of the Lord. So when they get there, and then he's born in Bethlehem, and we know all that happened. And then later on, do you remember how the Pharisees said, you know, can anything good thing come out of Nazareth? Remember?
Yeah.
Because, see, Nazareth is where he was, and he traveled to Bethlehem and was born there, but he grew up in Nazareth.
Right.
You see? And so they're saying, can any good thing come out of there? Because they didn't really look into things. They didn't ask questions. They didn't look into all those things. They just knew he was supposed to, if he was really the Christ, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. He's supposed to come out of Bethlehem, not Nazareth. But God does these things. This doesn't look like a good plan to travel like this with your wife about to have her first child. This just doesn't look like a good plan. But we can safely go where the Lord leads us. What about Jesus in Matthew 4 and 1? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This doesn't look like the leadings. We wouldn't think that if we're being tempted that the Lord led us there.
Right.
But that's not true. If he led Jesus to be tempted of the devil to gain strength, gain trust, defeat the devil, whatever the purposes are, if he led him to do it, what makes you think he's going to lead us to do it? We have a tendency sometimes to feel like that we're led into temptation, and we have a tendency to say all the, you know, the devil, and it's bad, and it's this, and it's that. But sometimes God leads us into temptation so that we can come out the victor. He wants us to grow. He wants us to learn trust. He wants us to learn how to come out on the other side of the temptation. If he just shielded us from all temptation, then we wouldn't really have free will. Free will is exercised when we are tempted and we say no. So Jesus was led into temptation, and the Lord is going to lead us into temptation. Haven't you ever felt like you were supposed to go somewhere, whether it was with family or this or that or anything, and you just knew, this is not going to be good. This is not going to turn out well. And you just knew. But you just knew you had to go. You knew you had to go. And then, while you were there, there was things that came, and it was like, and then what happens in your mind, you say, I knew this was going to happen. But then, sometimes we look at it that way and we say, well, I'm not coming here again, and I'm not going to do this again, and I'm not going to let this happen to me again. But we need to say, Lord, did you leave me here? What am I supposed to learn while I'm here? What am I supposed to gain? What am I supposed to come out with on the other side of this so that I can do better in the future? And what about that one little lonely person off in the corner that I got to say just a few words to? Do you know the Lord will put us in danger and lots of temptation and everything else to speak to a soul? Yeah. To speak to just one soul. He'll do that. It was never safe for the apostles and the disciples when they were out there. What makes you think it's going to be safe for us? Yeah. We're going to face some things. A lot of people here have had to face some things where they spoke up and had to say things on their jobs, and they didn't know if it was going to cost them their job. Because the Lord led them to speak a certain thing, or to do a certain thing, or to not do a certain thing, or to say they couldn't do a certain thing. And their job's on the line. But you can safely go where the Lord leads you. It isn't always a safe path. It doesn't always look safe in our understanding of what that is. So we shouldn't be afraid to go where the Lord is leading us. And we need to understand it isn't always going to look safe. But we don't have to be afraid. So in Acts 5, 18 through 21. And this is the leaders, the Jewish leaders, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. I think this was after the man was healed. A man was healed, and they were questioning it all. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, now this is what he said, they're already in trouble. They were in prison. The angel brings them out, and he says, go, stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. They just got in trouble for this.
Right.
They just walked out of prison with the angel for this. But did the angel say, now run into the next town? Now there were times that the Lord did do that. He led them to run to the next town to escape their jailers and all those things. But there are times that he lets us go right in to the prison. Then he delivers us, and then he says, now stand right there and be willing to do it again. Be willing to do it again. So he says, go stand and speak in the temple. And when they heard that, they entered. So they heard this. They just got out of prison. They heard this. They entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought forth. But they weren't there. They went there to get the men that were already loose, back in the temple preaching. But they had their big council. They were going to bring these men out. They were going to really do something here. And they sent to the prison, and they're not there. What? They're not there? Then it goes down to the 25th verse. It says, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people again.
Yeah.
They're standing in there. This is just one day later. They just threw him in prison. One day later, and they're teaching the people. And then they had a big discussion. Well, now what are we going to do? And what are we going to do this? And different ones stood up and talked about different things. And they're having this big council and everything. And so the one stood up at the end and he told them, he said, well, if it's of God, it's going to, you know, and if it's not, it won't. Uh-huh. So, you know, we don't need to worry about it. Okay. Sounds like a good plan. In the 40th verse, and to him they agreed. They agreed with what he said. And when they had called the apostles, they still sent out and called them. And when they had called them before them and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, they just agreed it was a good plan. If it's of God, you can't stop it. If it, you know, whatever. But we're going to beat them anyway. Uh-huh. Does this look like where God leads? See, in worldly wisdom, it doesn't look like a place that God would lead into. To where it looks like if you're thrown in jail and the angel delivers you, that looks like the leadings of the Lord. But when the angel said, now go and teach in the temple, you might start having a question about, but we just did that. Yeah. And we just ended up here and you just got us out. Are you sure? This is what we can do with the Lord. When the Lord deals with us and works with us and gets us out of some kind of a situation or problem and then opens up the door to where it looks like we're going right back into the same kind of thing again. Are you sure, Lord, that you want me to say this? Are you sure you want me to do this again? I already got in trouble for this. But that's where the worldly wisdom would say, don't do that, stay away from it. Go the other way, do this, do that, or rise up and fight and take out your sword. I mean, they go both ways. But God says, no, just go and do the same thing you were doing when they caught you the first time. Mm-hmm. Just go right back there. That's my will. And they beat them. Uh-huh. I mean, they put them in prison. That was pretty bad. But then they're out of prison now. This is the thing. They're out of prison now. They bring them before them, and they beat them anyway. Even after one of them said, now, if this is of God, we can't stop it. Let's just, you know, leave it alone. No, they beat them. Yes. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And further on down, it says in the next few verses or whatever, it says, and they went out rejoicing because it didn't hurt. Is that why? No. They went out, I didn't even feel it. You know, that's what sometimes children say. Oh, I got spanked, but I didn't feel it. That isn't what they said. They went out rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer.
Amen.
Okay, so suffering is not something that anybody in the world goes after. Uh-huh. And when we're led down the paths of suffering, we don't like it. We don't like it.
No.
It doesn't feel good. It hurts. It disturbs. But we're expected to rejoice in it when he leads us down the road of suffering. We are expected to rejoice in it. Can we safely go wherever the Lord wants us to go? All of the disciples, all of these apostles ended up dying martyrs' deaths. They ended up dying in horrible ways. Sometimes the Lord would deliver them marvelously, and other times he would let them be in prison. He would let them, you know, be chased from town to town, and other times, like this time, he would say, no, stand right there in that town and go right back into the temple. And did the Lord say, and I'm sorry, you're going to be beaten, but it can't be helped? Uh-huh. No. He could have helped it. He could have stayed their hand and said, they couldn't beat him. He could have just held up his hand and said, no, and they couldn't have done a thing.
That's right.
He let them be beaten.
That's so.
Listen, can we go or can we, are we going to be afraid to follow the Lord wherever He wants us to go? Wherever He leads. Can we safely go there? The song says, I'll not be afraid. I'll not be afraid. I'll not be afraid. In Acts 21, 10 through 14. And all the apostles were together here. And it says, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews of Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Doesn't sound promising, does it? Do you know the Lord, sometimes He'll let you know you're heading into something really difficult, really, really difficult. He doesn't give you a way to avoid it. He says, no, you're heading through, but I'm going to go with you and it's going to be all right. Because my purpose is going to be fulfilled in here. And that was what God was doing. He had told him way back when he was on the road to Damascus. He had told him what great things he was going to suffer. And that he was going to bring the Gospels before princes and kings and, in other words, higher up people. He was going to do that. Well, how was he going to do that? Running around in all the countryside with all of the small towns and preaching to all the common people. How was he going to do that? He didn't do that until he was in prison. He was going to go to prison. He had cast all the saints in prison. Taking some of their lives. He had cast them in prison before he got saved.
Yeah.
But now he was going to go to prison. And in prison, he was going to fulfill what God had told him way back there. There are some times that God tells us something in the very beginning of our experience. Something that He tells us. Something that He inspires us with. You know, I can give one for me. The Lord told me a long time ago that I had 9 children, and that's, you know, fairly large family. It's not as large as some of them used to be, but in my day when I was having children, it was pretty large. And people would say, why, you know, why are you having all those children, and why this and why that and everything? And I often said to the Lord, you know, I'm willing, but why? You know, what? And he told me one day, he said, these children are going to be your way to heaven. Oh, I didn't even understand what that meant. But it was not that it was going to be wonderful and joyous traveling. That's not what it was going to be. It was going to be hardships and disappointments and hurts and all manner of things to do with all these children and all the lives they touch and all everything that happens to them that happens to you and the things they do fall back on you and all these things. All those things is what made me dig to get what I needed from the Lord. If I wouldn't have dug, you know, if you have, I used to think I was always behind with my children, because I had one and I thought, oh, I don't know how to do this. Then I had 2 and I said, oh, 1 was easy. And then there was 3 and I was thinking, oh, 2 was easy. You know, 2 hands, 2 eyes, 2 feet, 2, you know, you can hang on to 2, but what are you going to do for 3? You know, and it just got more and more. And I always felt like I was behind, because you can't prepare for the future. You can't prepare for that. You can only go through as the Lord leads you through every step as you walk through, and He will, you can safely go here because He's going to help you. He's going to bring you through. So way back there, Paul heard that prophecy. He heard that from the Lord. you're going to testify before kings and all these things. He didn't know what that meant. He didn't know where he was going to be when that happened. But it was after he was in prison that he was able to do those things. Anyway, so they're telling him this is what's going to happen. He's going to be bound. And when they heard these things, both we and they of the place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I mean, this looks like a warning, doesn't it? I mean, God's trying to let you know this is what's going to happen. So don't go there. Go over here. Sometimes the Lord warns us what's going to happen, but he still wants us to go there. Even though it's going to bring hardship on us, because God's plan isn't all about us. It's about him, and it's about his work, and it's about what he wants to accomplish. And we are his feet, his hands, his eyes, his mouth. That's who we are here in this earth. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." He had something settled, didn't he? Do you know that we have to have that kind, same kind of settledness inside? That we're willing to die for the Lord Jesus? There are people in other countries that are willing to die right now for the Lord Jesus. They're being beheaded. They're being starved. People are coming in and beating them. And it's horrible, the things that are happening to people that are Christian and trying to live right around the world. We don't have that right here in our country.
Yes, Lord.
But the Lord is going to put us through things that feel pretty terrible to us. You know, we would be probably maybe a little bit hard-pressed to go through the right way if we were suddenly pushed into one of those countries and couldn't come back home. We were just over there suffering the same things that all the Christians there were suffering. We would have to really dig. You know that? We would have to really dig. Because even though our trials and all are hard, they're not as hard. But God has grace for no matter what they are. He has the grace for it. Paul said, I'm not worried about what they're going to do to me or they're going to bind me or whatever. I'm willing to go there and die. I'm willing to do like I saw Stephen do, where he stood there and they stoned him and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Paul saw that. He heard that. He watched that glorious death and how he went rejoicing to heaven. He never forgot that. He never forgot that. So here he is. I'm ready to go and die. I've seen others. I cast men into prison. I hunted them down. And I watched them. I watched all those people. How they, no doubt, don't you know that some of those people prayed for him? Don't you know they said things to him, you know, that we're going to be praying for your soul or whatever they might say. Don't you know they did that? Don't you know that he watched them as they comforted one another in the scriptures and comforted one another in what they would face for the Lord's sake? Don't you know he heard and saw that?
Yes.
He heard and saw all that. And when he gave his life to the Lord, that's why he could say here, I'm ready to go and die.
Yes.
I've seen it. I've seen the victory they have. I've seen the victory they have when they die. I've seen the victory they have when they're in prison. I've seen all of that.
Uh-huh.
It's a glorious thing to see. And I'm ready to go through that too. I'm ready. Are we ready to let the Lord lead us and not be afraid? Let him lead us down a path, things that cannot be helped. Are we ready? And when he would not be persuaded, because they kept trying, even after he said all of that, they kept trying. They ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." They finally got there, but they sure pleaded and pleaded. And isn't that what we do many times? We have a loved one. Listen, none of us want to lose our loved ones.
Yeah.
But we have a loved one, you know, and we plead and plead and cry, don't we?
Yes.
But what do we say in the end?
Thy will.
We finally get to the end and we say, Thy will be done, Lord.
Yeah.
Thy will be done.
Right.
We realize that wherever He leads, we can safely go.
Amen.
We can do that. Wherever He leads. That we don't have to be afraid. I'll not be afraid wherever He's leading me. I just won't be afraid.
Amen.
And I left this one for last in Genesis 12, 1 through 4. We're talking about Abram here, Abraham. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed. Now, so he just did it. How many times does the Lord have to tell us to do something before we just do it? How many times does He have to prick our heart before we say, yes, Lord? We can safely go where the Lord is leading. We can safely go there. And it says, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, that doesn't sound like a young man.
No.
You know? I mean, we're not talking just really young here.
Amen.
Some of us that are older would be hard pressed if the Lord said, get thee up out of this country and go to this country.
Yeah.
I remember Sister Kaiser. She was an older sister when I was first saved, and she was a missionary to, I think it was India. And she was a missionary, and she was living over there all by herself, no other people with her. She was an elderly lady. And I sat and talked with her one day in the dorm that we were staying in together. And she was telling me about her experiences and all there. Some of us would have a hard time with that. We have a hard time to say, where you lead me, I safely can go. Well, I don't know if I'd go there. You know, they have a lot of things that happen there. There's a lot of robbers and thieves there. There's a lot of diseases there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of this, there's a lot of that. I just don't know if I, you know. But we can safely go wherever the Lord leads. We don't have to be afraid. I'll not be afraid.
Amen.
The Lord wants us to say, I'll not be afraid.
No,
I won't be afraid to go where you want me to go. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he was doing. But the Lord was setting up something, a long-range plan.
Right.
The long-range plan was, is that he was the father of the Jewish nation that was inside of Egypt, that God rose Moses up to bring out and show his great power and bring his commandments and law.
Yeah.
And he started way back there with Abraham. He started way back there. It was a plan. Abraham never saw the end of the plan.
No.
Remember? There were a lot of prophets, a lot of ones, that saw the plan far off. They knew there was a day coming, and there was something going to happen, and there was going to be a Messiah. They didn't live to see it. Long range. The Lord is not, He's not hindered. You know how we have our long range goals and we have our short range goals, and sometimes the two of them can get mixed up, and sometimes we can spend more time on one than the other, and then the other is neglected, and then it doesn't work, and you know how God is not hindered like that.
Amen.
He has all these long range plans, and He has all these short range plans that deals with all the individuals at under His power and under His hands at any given moment in the earth. His eyes, His ears, His feet, His hands, and He's able to move them, you know, around and use them to work out His perfect will. We don't know what all it's going to be in the end.
No, we don't.
We don't see the end of it.
No, we don't.
But all these stories that we have in the Word help us to see the long-range plan and the end of what God was doing. We can see it. They didn't. They just moved out on faith. They just did it. So, I'll not be afraid. I can safely go where? I can safely go into old age and don't worry about the sicknesses, the disease, the weakness, the different things that happen in old age. Afraid of, people are afraid of nursing homes. They're afraid of lots of things in old age. But where He leads me, I safely can go. I can safely go there. If that is my lot, I can safely go there. If He leads that way, I don't have to be afraid. With this COVID and everything, and so many people have been so afraid and everything, and I am not one that feels like that you just ignore it and, you know, hope for the best or whatever. I'm not one of those. Yeah, of course we should be careful. It's the same kind of carefulness that we have when anybody is sick in our family with something contagious, no matter who it is. We're careful about catching it. We're careful about it. Although, when I was growing up, when measles came to the neighborhood, everybody took all their children over to play with the person that had measles. But I don't think it was to get immunity, it was to get it over with. May not have been the best motive, you know, but that's what they did. That's what they did. So can we can safely go there. We can do that. We can trust Him. We don't have to be afraid. God doesn't want us to be afraid to go where He wants to lead us. Don't be afraid. When on one opportunity at work closes, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Another opportunity will open. We don't have to be afraid. One of the saints back east, Brother Clint Doolittle, somebody told me the story. I think it was his mother told me the story. That he lost his job. And so he needed to find another one. And he got a little bit of a severance or whatever to hold him or whatever. And he didn't get that job. He looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked. And looked. But he didn't get a job until 2 weeks after that was all gone. See, where the Lord leads, we can safely go. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. And not only that, but he got the same kind of job that he had before to where he still has the same kind of vacation days that he had before because he travels overseas in missionary work.
Yes.
And he needed to be able to have certain vacation days and a certain way of it running and operating that he would be able to have the freedom to do that. And it's the same kind of a job where he has the same kind of freedom. We don't have to be afraid to follow where the Lord is leading. We don't have to be afraid. All of the different ones around us, all of the loved ones that are around us, all the ones right here in this congregation, you know, we don't have to be afraid. Wherever the Lord leads, some of us go through great trials of affliction. We don't have to be afraid. The Lord knows. He knows how to help us. He knows how to take us through. Some of us go through many trials with our family. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid when one of our loved ones, and this was a hard one, when one of our loved ones starts coming to the Lord and starts showing some interest or whatever. You know how we can get kind of nervous and afraid and say, oh Lord, you know, keep him coming. Oh Lord, the devil and the this and that. No, we don't have to be afraid. Wherever the Lord leads, we don't have to be afraid. We can go through it. They may come all the way in, They may go back out for a while. The Lord will work with them again and bring them back again. That's one of the things I've learned. You know, it isn't just, the Lord doesn't stop just because he gets rejected one time.
Yeah.
He doesn't stop. Thank God. Because I wouldn't have made it. So all of these things, we don't have to be afraid. So, do the Lockharts need to be afraid when the Lord has led them? Do they need to be afraid? No. It's a long, drawn-out process. Lots of things going on. Separated from their children. Doesn't look like a plan, does it? Doesn't look right. Doesn't seem right. But we can safely go where the Lord leads us. It won't always look right. It won't always feel right. It won't always produce the effects we think it should. But we can trust it. We don't have to be afraid. The Lord will lead us. And you know what? If we make a misstep, do you know the Lord will help us with that too? He'll help us to get right back onto the path. He'll help us to make that one step back and get right back there. He knows that we don't know everything perfectly. And we don't have perfect understanding. And he knows that. And he's so willing to shine the light on the right pathway. And you get a little bit off, he'll shine the light. He'll let you know. He's not going to just let you wander off. He's going to do that. We can safely trust him. We don't have to be afraid of where the Lord leads us in this life. We can look, it doesn't have to look promising to alleviate our fears. Sometimes we're fearful until all of a sudden it changes. Or we're fearful until it looks promising. Or there's a change that comes. No. We don't have to be afraid when it all looks dark.
Amen.
When they were all in prison, they didn't know the angel was coming to let them out. They didn't have to be afraid then. And we know that several of the disciples were in prison and they were singing and praying. While they were singing and rejoicing while they were in there. And the jailer and his whole house got saved. The path by worldly standards will not look promising. It won't look like it's the right path. People will try to get you to go a different way. They will try to get you to turn around. They will try to get you to do it this way or do it that way. Well, just don't say anything about that. Just don't report that, and you don't got to worry about it. Just do a little thing underhand and a little thing crooked. No, we can safely. The Lord leads us into honesty before God, before man. We can safely go there. Does that mean we don't have to be afraid? Does that mean that we won't lose a job or something? No, we might. We might, because sometimes bosses want you to be a little crooked. We might lose a job.
That's right.
But we don't have to be afraid.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord, it said in back in the 23rd Psalm, that he's our shepherd, and we shall not want. We will have what we need. He will come to the rescue. He will bring us forth. We don't have to be afraid. I remember, and I mentioned this, Sister Gwen, because I was there with her and Sister Mary when she passed. And that was her last words. I'll not be afraid.
Amen.
Those were her last words. She turned over and looked at me and she said, I'll not be afraid. And she was just took her last breath. But that's where she said, I'll not be afraid. So, you know, she was having a fight. Right at the end, the devil's trying to talk to her and try to whatever. But she said, I'll not be afraid.
Amen.
We don't have to be afraid, dear ones, to follow the Lord wherever he leads us. Amen.